625 U.S. Tax Shield, 800-466-9625.
3 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, coming up on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. We will discuss a big Thanksgiving sports weekend, the holiday weekend. We'll do that with Michael Oz of the Cedar Rapids Gazette coming up here in just a little bit. We'll have the results of the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6 for you coming up as well. Terrific rivalry weekend of college football. We'll kick that around. We'll talk about the NFL. We'll talk some college basketball and talk about the conference championship games in the world of college football. How useful are they? All that coming up here on a Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. Well, hi, everyone. Welcome in. Monday edition of the Gym Class coming your way on KGYM. Scott Unash alongside Mark Duke, sports editor, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Alex Kuhn, our producer, on the other side of the glass here, taking you through the 3 o'clock hour, getting your sports block underway, your local sports programming block here on KGYM. We'll be here until 7 o'clock tonight. At that time, 1600 AM, we'll have the Cyclone call-in show for you, and 107.5 and 106.3 FM, we'll have Monday Night Football, the Green Bay Packers taking on the Philadelphia Eagles. And happy Monday to you, Mark.
Happy Monday, man. It was a great weekend for sports, football in particular. Started Friday in Iowa City, as we brought you the post-game show on KGYM, Iowa, Nebraska, a 30-point win for Iowa, locking up an 8-4 season. And then it just continued into Saturday with the college games on Sunday. Ohio State, Michigan was a classic. You know, that word is overused, but that was a classic.
That was an instant classic. I would agree. And depending on what side of the fence you're on, you either loved it or you thought the officiating was blatantly against you, just like with Jim Harbaugh.
Yeah.
And but it can't be denied what a game it was. As Michigan and Ohio State went at it, Ohio State came back to win that game in double overtime. And if give me rivalry, this rivalry weekend every year. Is this just fantastic college football? Love to hear from you. You want to comment on it? 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600. That is the Jerry K. Ask Investment Services text line. And we invite you to check out Jerry K. Ask online, jkainvest.com. Trusted advice for your financial future. And you can reach us via the text line anytime from any network. Standard text messaging rates do apply.
We've got some regular season games this coming weekend in college football and conference championship games as well. We ask you at kgymradio.com, aside from revenue, is there really a need for conference championship games? Yes or no? Thanks to Emil's Hideaway, First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids, behind Taco John's and next to Home Depot.
That was the biggest topic of the weekend, especially after what happened in Columbus between Michigan and Ohio State. Big 12 does not have a championship game until next year when it will come in. They will do it based on the top two teams, which they are going to completely gloss over the divisions. I guess they will have the best two teams, so bully to them. But you take a look at three of the four games going on this coming Saturday as far as conference championships among the Power Five conferences, Mark. Three of those four games do not have the best two teams going at it. But yet, we have to base that on what goes into the college football playoff rankings. It's not a perfect system. We'll never have a perfect system, but I think after watching the results this weekend and listening to very good commentary from folks around the country, I don't like these conference championship football games. What do you think?
It's a mixed bag for me. In the case of the Big Ten, you got Wisconsin and Penn State going to vie against one another, but the best team in the league, as you mentioned, maybe the two best teams in the league, are on the outside looking in. He talked about the Big 12 next year going to a playoff based on the top two teams. I mean, if it was going to happen this year, Oklahoma and Oklahoma State play this week.
They play again.
And then they play again because they're the top two teams in the Big 12. Now, that makes a very little sense to me. But you've got Alabama and Florida in the
Florida's
SEC.
Florida's not the second best team in the Southeastern Conference. Clemson and Virginia Tech in the ACC. Clemson, yes, they are the best team in the ACC. I don't believe Virginia Tech is the second. No offense, Alex. I don't believe Virginia Tech is the second best team in the ACC right now. Pac-12, I think you can make a pretty good argument. Washington and Colorado.
Good matchup.
Mm-hmm. Good matchup right there. And maybe, who knows? Who knows? Penn State, hey, beat Ohio State, but then got run out of town by Michigan. And also lost a game to Pitt earlier in the year.
Speaking of Michigan, on that Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600, 87-21. If Michigan didn't drop for losing to Iowa, they definitely shouldn't drop this week.
Didn't drop very much. As far as the polls, the AP and the coaches poll, I think they only dropped a couple of spots. Michigan can't be in the top four, though, for the college football playoff poll, can they? There's no way they can be. How do you put Michigan ahead of the Washington Huskies? How do you put them ahead of Clemson? It's going to be Alabama, Ohio State, Clemson, and Washington, unless something strange happens.
Mm-hmm.
And something strange could happen this coming weekend on Friday and Saturday when you get all these conference championship games. I still remember back to the Big 12 days, Mark. Bill Snyder in Kansas State, I believe, had an undefeated season, all set to go, play for a national championship. Were upset in the Big 12 championship game and fell all the way down to the Alamo Bowl that particular year.
Mm-hmm.
Other than money, I don't think there's a reason to have these conference championship games. I don't know what they accomplish.
Well, I think it gets down to the alignment of the divisions more than anything else.
Yes, and in the Big 10, you don't play everybody.
Right.
It's not an even playing field as far as the schedule is concerned. What do you think out there? 319-366-1600. Should we keep the conference championship games? Should, you know, there have been people that have thrown around a plan. Gary Danielson, I mentioned this last week, have the conference championship teams go into a playoff, expand it to six teams, have the top two teams get a bye, and then have one team that would be your wild card out of the Power Five conferences.
Get rid of divisions?
Yeah. I think it would help. But you're not going to change this now because there's too much money involved. Mm-hmm. There's TV money involved. There's conference money involved. You're just not going to get rid of this situation. That's what it was brought about anyway to start off with, was money.
Yeah, and I think with the expansion of the conferences, this has obviously led to divisions and led to conference championship games almost everywhere. I don't have a strong opinion about it. I really don't. I like to take one side or the other, but I just don't have a strong opinion because in the case of the SEC, you know, I think you've got one team that is far superior to everyone else. Is that everyone else's problem? Not really. You know, which is the second best team in the SEC?
That's a good question. What Saturday is it?
Yeah.
LSU looked terrific against Texas A&M. Mm-hmm. You thought Texas A&M was for a while. Florida, I don't know. I don't think there is a clear-cut number two in the Southeastern Conference this year.
Joel and Muscatine on the text line. When was the last time revenue wasn't the only reason that mattered? # Rutgers.
Poor Rutgers. They're off to an undefeated start in basketball. Celebrate that? Please, with the Scarlet
Knights. Football conference championship games in Rutgers probably will never be mentioned in the same sentence.
Yeah. You never say never, Mark Dukes.
I suppose.
Never say never on it. 319-366-1600. We'll take a look at the Big Ten. Ohio State, you got to think. It's going to have to be some crazy scenarios for Ohio State to drop out of the college football top four.
They're going to benefit by not playing in the championship game.
They're going to benefit by not playing. Absolutely. And, you know, so right there tells you exactly what you need to know about the conference championship games, isn't it? They're going to benefit by not playing in that conference championship game.
Don't get kicks blocked at Penn State, and you wouldn't have the problem. But actually, it's not a problem for Ohio State.
What if Ohio State wins that game? Alabama's still going to be in it, even if they lose to Florida somehow. Don't see that happening. Florida's not going to be able to score 10 points. But let's just say, for argument purposes, that Alabama loses. They're still in the Final Four, right? You agree on that?
I would agree.
I would agree on that as well. If Ohio State, say they would have lost to Michigan, gone to the conference championship, lost to Wisconsin, they would be out. Does Wisconsin then swoop in? They would be the... Or, and even with Penn State and Wisconsin, whoever wins that game, they're the de facto Big Ten conference champion, in air quotes. Do they deserve to be in the Final Four?
It's a great debate that's going to take place this week and into the weekend in that committee room. I mean, Wisconsin's only losses are by a touchdown each
to Ohio State,
to Michigan, and Ohio State.
Yep,
pretty good resume. Beat LSU at Lambeau. I don't know. It comes down. We don't have to worry about it right now because Ohio State's done. They're going to be in the Final Four, period, right?
Right. I don't see how they're not in the Final Four, and they don't even have to play in the conference championship game. They get a piece of the Big Ten East, but they are not going to qualify for the conference championship game based on the head-to-head with Penn State, of course.
95-25 on the text line. Set it up like March Madness, but with only half the teams, and start the tourney earlier because we wait a month, it seems, for bowl games anyway.
Yeah, it'll be on New Year's Eve, December 31st, the Chick-fil-A and the Fiesta
Bowl.
Well,
the bowls get in the way of an expanded playoff. In other divisions, you have as many as 32 teams in the playoffs. And nobody's screaming about missed time. Increase in the chance of concussions, what have you. I mean, national champions are going to play, 15 games?
Yeah, in FBS, you could play 15 games, yes, in Division I AA. Division III, they play 10 regular season games. And 12, 34, they play 15 as well.
Yeah, Cole played 12 games. Mm-hmm. And got bounced pretty handily. Great season for the Cohawks. But, yeah, Division III, where academics is supposedly king, you're trotting your kids out there, some anyway, that make it to the finals for 15 weeks. 47-02, keep them, meaning the conference championship games, period. If you don't win the conference, too bad.
If you don't win the conference, too bad. But then should you be able to get into a chance to play for a national championship if you're not your conference champion?
Keep regular season meaningful. That was a continuation of the last text.
Okay. Is it a... I don't know. I'm having serious doubts if this is...
Well, if you think conference championship games in football are meaningless, what about basketball?
Oh, they're meaningless. Yeah. To me, I would love to have it this way, and I think they've done it better now. If you win your conference regular season crown and you do not win your conference tournament, you get to go to the NIT now, at least. So these teams like North Carolina, Asheville, or East Tennessee State, or whatever the case may be, you at least get to go play in a tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Used to be that you could run the table. You could go 28-0 during the regular season, somehow get beat on a half-court shot, and your season's done.
Sure.
I mean, it could play out that way. If the committee believes you didn't play anyone of any ilk during the regular season. Say a Florida Gulf Coast or somebody like that did that.
I'm beginning to think we're the old guys on the porch.
Come on, young people out there.
Back
what do you think?
'70s, there's four bowl games, period. That's it. You don't win, you don't move on.
That's right. Michigan and Ohio State played for a tie, and the coaches or the ADs had to come up with who was going to move on to the Rose Bowl that year.
0-9-3-1, if you don't win your conference champion, win your conference, you're ineligible for the Final Four.
In this particular way, we're doing it now.
No, if you don't win the conference championship.
So Ohio State wouldn't necessarily be eligible in their determination?
Well, under the current structure, to win the conference championship, you got to be in the conference championship game, right? Even though Ohio State tied for the division title.
They tied for it, but they don't get to go to the conference championship
right.
game. Yeah, there's no, like I said, there's no perfect scenario to this. If you come up with a perfect scenario, please let us know. 319-366-1600. Love to hear from you out there. There was more. We had college football. Iowa won. Iowa State fell. The Cyclones end 3-9, Matt Campbell's first year over in Ames. I think some significant movement as far as getting better from point A to point B, as far as the Cyclones are concerned. There is still a long way to go for Iowa State. They need a couple of very good recruiting classes to come in and pan out for Matt Campbell. But I just watching them from the UNI game and the Iowa game to the last three games of the year, significant progress was made by this team. Now, what's going to happen next year, who knows? There's talk Joel Lanning. He got in, I believe, for one snap Saturday.
That was odd, wasn't it?
That was very odd. Now, does Joel Lanning become a graduate transfer? There's a lot of speculation that that might be the case now, with Park getting to be the quarterback next year and Joel Lanning going somewhere else, a la Jake Rudock a couple years ago and starring for 1 year wherever he chooses to go or pick.
I don't think there's any question there was progress made in Ames from week two or three, say, to week 12, although the gap was significant in weeks 11 and 12 when Iowa State just stuffed Texas Tech and then let that game Saturday get away from it against West Virginia, a better West Virginia team than Texas Tech, granted. But the team never gave up that I saw. And that's tough to do when you start out poorly and you've got a daunting schedule ahead of you. I mean, they lost four games by 10 points or fewer.
Yeah.
And you can always play that game, I guess. But I think Campbell's got this program on the right path. He's got some key components coming back next year. Again, as you said, if the recruiting pans out, maybe you go the JUCO route a little bit. He's already got a top 40 class for this year, doesn't he? Something like that.
It's close. It's close. I think it might be outside the top 40, but it's still it's good. It's good for Matt Campbell's first, I guess, complete class. He kind of came in right at the end of the recruiting process last year. I think better things are in the offing for Iowa State.
I do, too.
They're going to have Montgomery back. There's talk, is Mike Warren going to come back?
What was the deal with him?
Oh, he got hurt at the end of the year.
Yeah.
But Montgomery had a very good freshman season, much like Mike Warren did his freshman season. Is Alan Lazard going to come back for his senior year? He had over 1,000 yards of receiving this year.
Should he?
I don't know. I was discussing that with my in-laws yesterday. Should Alan Lazard come back or should he go pro? What is his stock going to be? We'll start talking with our friend Dan Shonka coming up here pretty soon and get ready for the NFL draft. But where would you? What round would you put Alan Lazard? I mean, he's a big target out there. Good speed, not the fastest guy out there, but you got to think he'd be third, fourth round draft choice, right in there somewhere.
I don't know the kid and what his aspirations are. Obviously, he wants to play pro ball, but I think he's invested in Ames as well, and he's a younger player, having never redshirted. To me, I think he'd benefit from another year, but he may go through that process of being evaluated, and you know, we'll see.
Yeah. 319-366-1600. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up here in just a little bit. Before we leave football, Scott's tank's a little empty today.
Oh, the Chiefs last night?
Yeah. I gave up on them twice. I think I sent you some sort of a text. Done. That was
yeah,
after,
you did.
That was after the pass to somebody named Lowry, I believe, that I never heard of. And A.J. Derby, man, got in there, traded a couple weeks ago from the Patriots to the Denver Broncos, and looks pretty darn good as a tight end, doesn't he?
Yeah. Two former Iowa quarterbacks in the NFL.
Not playing quarterback.
No, Rudock's playing quarterback.
Well, that's true. That's true. He hasn't gotten into an actual game as of yet.
No. Even Brommelkamp and I were invested. We were locked heads in a fantasy game.
You had a bad beat, man.
Well, depends on what side of the coin you're on. And regulation, I'm up by a tenth of a point. And he's got two players left. And he had the Spencer Ware
and Booker.
Booker from Denver, the running back. And Booker got a gain of 5 or something like that, and then gained a little bit more, and Todd ended up beating me by 4 or 5. But, yeah, 10th of a point, and it goes into overtime. Oh, well.
The Chiefs and the Broncos, I think that was the game of the year last night as far as the NFL is concerned. They'll meet again on Christmas night. That will be at Arrowhead Stadium in Kansas City for the return matchup. But, man alive, if you were just a football fan last night, if you had no dog in a hunt, that was just a fun game to watch. You got enough offense to keep you interested. And Von Miller and Justin Houston put on a show for a defensive outside rush linebacker.
Mm-hmm.
They made tackles. They caused havoc. They sacked the quarterback, caused turnovers. And the Chiefs were just beat up and still got a victory in that one. You will have to pick up my free drinks Wednesday night from two people that shall remain nameless.
Oh, no. You need to collect on that. You've paid out often enough, haven't you?
I have paid out.
Let's clean up some texts on the playoff discussion we've been having. 0931, if you don't win your conference championship, should be ineligible for the Final Four. May have read that one already. Sorry about that. 9437, if Western Michigan wins, they bump Ohio State. Wink.
Hashtag row the boat.
1405, easy. 8 teams in the playoff, still use college football rankings to decide the seeds and who is in. But 5 conference champs get auto bids. Next best 3 get at large. It would put all the pin. Make all the independents get in a conference as well to make it easy to get in. Finally, 4702. It's not complicated. Penn State beat Ohio State. Winner of the Big Ten championship game should be in. College football will turn into a joke if you win the Big Ten and don't get in.
So Penn State should be in the Final Four if they beat Wisconsin?
4702 says yes.
Okay. I think it's going to go to 8, and I think it's going to be very soon. Do you agree? I said this when it first came out. It's going to be 8 soon.
I see no point in going from 4 to 6 and then maybe 6 to 8. Let's just make the jump to 8, be done with it.
And be done with it. But then you're going to have 9 and 10 standing on the mountaintop yelling when this is all said and done.
Sure, that's always going to happen. You always have 66 and 67 in basketball, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Great weekend. Great weekend as far as sports is concerned. Even basketball yesterday. Iowa State, great comeback against Gonzaga. Came up a little bit short. They played some defense in that second half. Like Iowa State's, if they can play defense like that. I'm not a big fan of Deontay Burton hitting threes, shooting threes. But, hey, when you make a few of them, you got to step back, I guess, a little bit. Help them get back into that game. And Iowa's got to learn to play defense. Giving up 100 to Memphis yesterday and just getting the doors blown off.
Yeah.
I guess it was Saturday to Memphis, but just getting the doors blown off then by Virginia. Very good Virginia team that does play defense the way it should be done out there. It will help Iowa. It's going to help Iowa State as well with those games. Iowa State's got another good one coming up on Thursday night. They will host Cincinnati at Hilton Coliseum.
Iowa's got Notre Dame on Tuesday night, tomorrow night.
Yep, Big Ten ACC showdown going on right now. All right, 3:27. We're going to take a break. We'll come back. Michael Oss will join us. Plenty to discuss with Mike as he was in both Ames and Iowa City to catch football over the Thanksgiving holiday weekend. Stay tuned. Monday edition of the Gym Class. Scott, Mark, and Alex with you here on KGYM.
Bouncing around from one job to another just isn't healthy for you or your family. A seasonal layoff means you have to keep starting over with retirement and health benefits. When you work at PMX, the bouncing stops. You'll be working for a company that's been offering industry-leading benefits in Cedar Rapids for 24 years, along with a road to a secure retirement and stellar health protection for you and your family. PMX will put the bounce back in your step by eliminating it in your career. Learn more at ipmx.com.
Football is a fast and rough and tumble game. In many ways, it's a lot like your business. You need the right game plan and team to win in business. Network Computer Solutions is your bench when it comes to the tech issues that can make the difference between winning and losing. Call NCS at 247-7223, 247-7223, and put them on your IT team. NCS is your big-time IT department at a fraction of the cost. Network Computer Solutions, they're the missing piece to your IT puzzle.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
Don't miss your chance to discover the new Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry. At Jared, we only sell one piece of jewelry, the one she'll cherish forever. That's why Jared is the place to find, customize, or create that one ideal piece for her. Jared works directly with the world's most famous brands and jewelry designers, from Vera Wang, Neil Lane, and Levion to Tissot and Movado, creating an amazing collection of jewelry for you to discover. Plus, Jared's expert jewelers offer custom design services in every store. Everything from adding a personal inscription to your gift to designing her engagement ring from your sketch. The one piece of jewelry that says everything. That's why he went to Jared. Starting at 10 a.m. on Saturday, December 3rd, come to the new Jared, the Galleria of Jewelry, located by the Lindale Mall in Cedar Rapids. The first 200 guests to visit this new location will receive a free gift and can enter to win a pair of 1-carat Leo Diamond solitaire earrings.
You know how to drive in winter. You slow down, counter-steer, and do all the things you should. But even the most careful driver can end up in a fender bender on a snowy, icy Iowa day. If it happens to you, take your vehicle to Bob Mickey Collision Center. Every repair is guaranteed, and they work with all insurance companies, but they work for you. It's your car. It's your choice. Choose Bob Mickey Collision Center. Center Point Road, just off the Collins Road exit from 380 in Cedar Rapids.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
We are back, 3:30 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class on KGYM. A reminder, APC coming your way next, and Todd and Tyler will have your chance to win a La Cantina $30 gift card. Gift cards make great gifts, plus La Cantina can cater your holiday party and take the stress out of planning and scrambling. Take a break, dine in, or carry out at either La Cantina location, downtown Cedar Rapids, or in the Lincoln View Square in Marion. Check them out online at LaCantina319.com. Michael Oss, the esteemed sports columnist from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. You can read his stuff at thegazette.com and follow him on Twitter at Halas, joining us here on the Monday edition of the program at 3:31. How was your Thanksgiving, Mike? Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, and it was fine. Thank you for asking.
Good.
How are you?
Doing great. I'm just relishing on the weekend of college football. NFL was terrific, too. We had some good college basketball, but man alive, is there a much better weekend in the sports calendar than the rivalry weekend in college football?
Well, you're asking somebody who went to the Iowa State-West Virginia game.
That's a huge rivalry, man.
I didn't get to absorb all that good rivalry stuff. I saw two teams from about 800 miles apart who didn't have a lot in common, especially when it came to how they played.
Mike, you give you and your colleagues grade Iowa each and every game, each of 12 games. How would you grade the season, which was 8-4?
B minus. Yeah. I mean, look, the over-under number in Las Vegas for Iowa for victories was 8.5, so they didn't meet that. And if you look back, I think you'd say they should have. I think they should have gone 10-2. I do. I think they should have beat Northwestern at home. They should have beat North Dakota State at home. Then again, you could say, well, they shouldn't have beaten Michigan at home. So I could concede that, but I think that should have been a 9-3 team, having said that out loud.
What grade do you think the typical Iowa fan would give this Iowa football team?
The typical? Well, it ended with such good feeling that you might be tempted to upgrade that. And I can understand that because it is how you end. I mean, how we remember these seasons for the next 9 months until the next season starts is sort of those last memories. And 2 years ago, they played Nebraska at home. They kicked away a 17-point lead, lost the game. And it didn't really matter what happened in Jacksonville, although what happened there was brutal. But that Nebraska game was one that just wouldn't go away for the next 9 months. So I think the reverse is true. They completely owned Nebraska this time around in the finale and left everybody with a lot of really good feelings about how they closed things out. So I would think that people would give them a pretty high grade even with four losses.
As in most games, Mike, there's several aspects to it that can be picked apart. As far as Friday's game goes, and I'll get your opinion as well, I think the physical ineffectiveness of Tommy Armstrong was a big factor. And conversely, I think Iowa's defense continued to play much better.
Yeah, I mean, they weren't getting the full Armstrong in that deal, but I'm not sure how much it would have mattered. I think that Iowa's defensive front owned Nebraska's offensive line and vice versa. I believe it was the best game that Iowa's offensive line has played this year. I think so. And it was just a much different looking offense than the one that we'd seen in Kinnick time after time when they weren't even able to get 300 yards. It was a good looking offense. You get big plays and that helps, but and special teams were excellent. I mean, how could they have been much better the last few games, in fact? But the punting, the kickoffs, the punt returns, I thought it was a three-unit, just a thorough performance.
Mm-hmm.
One of the best Iowa's had in several years.
I was just going to ask you, I thought it was, in my opinion, the best Iowa has looked this year, so obviously you would agree with that.
Yeah, I mean, they had routes. They routed Iowa State. They routed Purdue. Okay, but this was against... this was against a ranked opponent, and they dominated the game. And it's some teams, you look around the country, and you're seeing teams that they come on strong. In November, it clicks, and that was Iowa, and there are a lot of others who kind of flatlined and even went backwards. And we've seen that from Iowa in Novembers, too.
The two of us and Tyler Ryder debated the most valuable player or players on this Iowa football team, Mike, and I think two of us had Josie Jewell and a little sentiment for Ron Caluzzi. And I get it. I mean, he was a big part of this football team. But who's your MVP?
I would take Jewell. I would take Jewell because as good as Desmond King is, to me it seemed like Josie Jewell was the heart and soul of that defense these last 3 weeks,
right,
and throughout the whole season, actually.
Right.
I think that you're looking at somebody who, assuming he comes back next season, and I think he will, you're looking at one of the best players that Kirk Ferentz has ever had there. Just no question about it in my mind. I think he's going to be first-team all-conference this year. He was second team a year ago, I believe. And, I mean, he's a finalist for the Butkus Award as a junior. He's the only guy from the Big Ten on that list. We're talking five players now, not 30. And it's just, he just has a, a lot of it's very definable. He's simply a very good player, and he's quick and he's instinctive and so forth.
He's kind of cerebral, Mike, isn't he?
Intangibles.
Cerebral.
Yes. I mean, I think that as he goes, so goes that defense. And I think that all his teammates kind of respond to him, and he's in the middle of it all, And Ben Neiman is fellow linebacker, and I don't know what Neiman's health has been for much of the season, but the last few games, he was right there, too. And when those two guys are right, then you've got something.
66-57, putting in a vote for Jahlil Johnson, and I would say maybe the last part of the season, but there was parts in the early games that really wasn't noticeable.
Right. He came on big in November. I certainly don't discount what he brought. Really, really good player. Really elevated his game in November. And, you know, you it's easy to overlook C.J. Beathard, but he was almost playing with a hand tied behind his back at times this season. And, you know, he did make a lot of plays. It wasn't the magic of 2015, but he didn't become a worse player. They took the running game away from him, and I think his own running game, because I think it was just for a matter of survival more than anything else. And Beathard will never tell you what kind of injuries he's played with the last couple of years, but he has. But last year he ran for over 200 yards, I think, and probably over 400 if you take away sacks. This year he simply wasn't a runner. And so you take that on top of you had the problems at tight end health-wise, you had the problems at receiver with Vandenberg gone, et cetera, et cetera. And he just didn't have weapons. And he still, I thought, was a very, very good quarterback.
Mike Halas joining us at 3:39 on the Monday edition of the Gym Class and KGYM. And Mike, the good feeling for this Iowa football team as they will learn their bowl destination coming up on Sunday night. A lot of people speculating it will be the first trip to San Diego in 25 years to go back to the Holiday Bowl. Other publications have Music City still in play. I think it's probably going to be one of those two. What do you think?
Well, I haven't done a lot of studying on it because past experience says it's almost futile. But those do seem to be the most likely targets. I think it depends on if the Big Ten gets one or two teams into the playoff, and then if it's two, obviously pecking order changes. But, look, I mean, the reality is they're not Rose Bowls. They're not games that are going to mean a lot. I think they'll mean a lot to the team because they've talked and talked and talked about how they want to win a bowl game. None of them have been on a bowl game winner. So they'll make that a big focus, and I think whoever they play, wherever they play, I think they'll win the bowl game. But is it going to be a good bowl matchup? Is it going to be a good opponent? Is it going to be anything that means anything or that resonates beyond the state of Iowa? I doubt it.
This just in, Michigan football coach Jim Harbaugh reprimanded by the Big Ten for violating the Big Ten sportsmanship policy.
What?
For his comments towards officials after the Ohio State game, and the school has been fined $10,000.
$10,000.
I don't think.
Come up with that kind of money?
Neither Harbaugh or Michigan is really too concerned about it right now, but he was frank in his comments, that's for sure, after the game.
Yeah, it wasn't very graceful.
No. What about that game, though? It so often a game that has that much hype doesn't play out.
He was watching West Virginia.
I did get to watch. I mean, that was an 11 o'clock game, though.
Yeah.
So it's not like I was closed off to the world. It was. It takes two, and Michigan's back to being Michigan, and boy, I thought they were going to win that game all the way up until the time they didn't.
Yeah, I did too. I did too.
Who's your Big Ten?
You know, and look, if there's only one Big Ten team in the playoff, it's because of Iowa. Because if Michigan had beaten Ohio State, I think Ohio State still goes. Not definitely, but I think there'd been a decent chance. I mean, to lose a double overtime game to Michigan. But, what I mean is, if Michigan beats Iowa and then loses to Ohio State, Michigan's in. And so is Ohio State. But Michigan didn't get it done here, and you know the rest.
Who's your Big Ten coach of the year? I think that's a tough question. Really is.
You know, the two guys who were in Indianapolis Saturday, you can say either one and you're right. Paul Chryst or James Franklin. Mm-hmm. I lean to Franklin because in October, there were people at Penn State who were, I think, quietly hoping that he'd get fired.
Mm.
Maybe some of them weren't quiet about it. And they went up to Michigan and got annihilated, and it's like, this is not the level that they were expecting. Well, that's a dynamic team. I mean, that's a really good team. I hope that Barkley, the running back, is at full health Saturday night to make that as good a game as possible.
So often the coaches and the managers, coaches in football, managers in baseball, of the very best teams get no love in this kind of an award. It happens a lot.
Oh, yeah, it does. It does. And expectations seem to rule a lot of things in sports. I mean, you look at rankings. For instance, if you changed what Ohio State had done, if you just slapped Team X on Ohio State, would Ohio State be would that Team X be ranked second? You know, okay, they're 11-1. Grant you that.
The brand counts. That's for sure.
Yeah, the brand does count. I mean, they barely beat Northwestern. They were fortunate to beat Michigan State.
Yep.
They're not a dominant team, but you know, and I'm not saying they don't deserve to be in the playoff, but. If you slap somebody, I mean, look, last year when it was the Big 12 had that deal with TCU or Baylor,
mm-hmm.
and neither one got in, a couple years ago it was. If either one of those teams had been Ohio State, they would have been in.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. And had Urban Meyer as their coach, they both would have been in. Going to the other side of things, you were in Ames on Saturday, as we mentioned, and as you mentioned as well. You didn't get to see Iowa State a lot this year, but what was the vibe at Jack Trice Stadium on Saturday? Granted, it wasn't completely full, not bad weather. There were empty seats, whatever the case may be. But I guess, is there a different vibe around this Iowa State football program now at the end of Matt Campbell's first year? Is there at least maybe a light at the end of the tunnel?
I think so. And I know that Iowa people hear that and are scornful. I always hear that. But, I saw Iowa State play in Iowa City in September and thought they might go 0-12.
Mm-hmm.
And then I saw them play Kansas State a few weeks ago, and it's like, this is a better team. Well, Saturday they got routed, but it was a good game until late in the third quarter. And Iowa State had 561 yards in that game. I'm not used to seeing that. So the offense, while it got bogged down in the red zone time after time and they turned the ball over so much, they were capable of scoring a big number again Saturday. They're not where they want to be defensively, but look, the guy's recruiting better. I think, recruiting rankings are giving him high marks for what he's doing over there. And the offense just looks so much more coordinated to me over there than it's looked in a long time. And over the last 2 weeks, they have like 1,100 and some yards. And that's how they're going out for year one, with an offensive line that was patchwork at best and a quarterback who is, getting to play for the first time in his career. So I've said this before on your show. I think they got the right guy, and I think that they're going to be a very pesky program.
Big 12 became a little bit tougher, though, the other day when Tom Herman was appointed the coach of the Texas Longhorns.
Well, but as one of the texters pointed out, too, with Baylor in trouble, Texas on a downturn.
Texas Tech has not been great this year.
Baker Mayfield doesn't come back for Oklahoma. There's some opportunities next year.
Yeah, there are. And a lot of people tell you it's not that great a league right now. As far as Texas and Tom Herman, it's like, okay, I guess this is the hottest name, was in the talent pool, but this season, his team lost to Navy, it lost to SMU, it lost to Memphis. Good luck against Oklahoma.
Brady Hoke was hot at one time, too.
Yeah, I mean, do we really know that Tom Herman, for instance, is any better of a coach than Matt Campbell? I mean, Matt Campbell knocked off 9-10 wins a year at Toledo. Is that great a difference between Toledo and Houston?
Yeah. Charlie Strong was hot 3 years ago.
Yeah, exactly. And that was the same conference. That was Louisville. All right. Well, that didn't really didn't pan out so well. So I don't know. I mean, maybe he'll turn them back into the Texas of Mac Brown's glory days, and probably will, because he sure does know how to use offensive players.
Greg Davis's glory days.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, when Ricky Williams is your running back, it makes coordinators look pretty good, but
Vince Young is not bad either.
Right, Vince Young. Yeah, forgot about him. He had skills. So, but that league, I think it's ripe for Iowa State to make inroads. It's, you know, following up on what you said.
Well, I think somebody asked Jacob Park after the game Saturday what the goals are next year, and he flat out said, we're going to a bowl game next year.
I can see them thinking that. And I'll tell you, Park is good.
Mm-hmm.
He throws in the pocket. He stands there, and he doesn't flinch, and he throws lasers. And I like his attitude. He's doesn't lack for confidence, and I think they got somebody there.
I know the Gazette is not affiliated with the Associated Press anymore, per se, but you voted in a football poll in prior years, Mike?
Yeah, several years.
I was just reading a story. Tom Murphy of the Arkansas Democrat Gazette ranked Michigan ahead of Ohio State on his AP ballot Sunday.
Yeah.
And he gave some – he basically ignored the head-to-head, obviously, but made a good point. So I imagine what those people in the committee room are thinking.
Yeah, well, look, here's something that I think is very real. If the winner of the Big Ten championship game, let's say it's Wisconsin, and let's say that Wisconsin's very impressive Saturday night, do you think that most of the people on that committee really want to take a second Big Ten team over say, Washington? And shut out the Pac-12 or who else?
Well, let's say if Clemson loses, Washington loses.
Yeah, well, if one of them loses, you're opening the door. But let's say that Clemson gets pushed to the very end against Virginia Tech Saturday, or Washington gets pushed to the very end by Colorado. Do you think that those committee people from around the country really want to shut out a second conference when they're already going to be shutting out the Big 12?
Mm.
No, they don't. But how is it going to look when the Big 10 champion is shut out and a team that sat home on Saturday night goes to the playoff? That's goofy.
Sticky wicket there, Mike.
Yeah. You know, so, but again, you know what? Penn State tied Ohio State for the East title. They played head-to-head, and Penn State beat them. But you know what? You're still Ohio State.
Well, yeah, it gets back to the brand, and Penn State and Wisconsin have certain measures of brands. What if Penn State beats Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Penn State already had beaten Ohio State, but Penn State's got a couple they lose to Pitt.
They lost to Pitt. And
Michigan.
And they lost to Michigan bad.
Yeah. But if you're looking at if you're saying who's the best teams in the country right now, well, I think USC might be in the top four. But Penn State was the best team I saw in person all year. You know,
mm-hmm.
And now Michigan's had a great season, and I saw them play on what I would say was their worst night of the year. But I saw Penn State, and you guys saw them on TV that night against Iowa. That was a dynamo. and they didn't let up after that. They had a tough go with Michigan State for a half, but in the second half they buried them. I mean, they obliterated them. And Ohio State played Michigan State the week before, beat them by 1 point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, now a little basketball for you before a trip to sunnier climes in late December, right?
Little bit, but not much. Not too excited about it. I think Iowa kind of showed us what kind of a year is ahead. It's going to be bumpy. Wasn't a very good weekend for the Hawkeyes.
Iowa State, even though they lost that game yesterday to Gonzaga, it's still going to help them in the long run to play a team of that ilk.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's good. They're like 99% of all the teams in the country. They're flawed, but if Deonte Burton plays anywhere near like he played yesterday, he's got, I mean, he's a player unlike very many in college basketball.
Yeah.
And then you've got Monte Morris.
Who's
you know,
good.
Who, you don't even need to explain him now. This is his fourth year of being a really good point guard, and I've always enjoyed watching him play. So, at the very least, Iowa State is going to, you know, they'll be a top 25 team all season long, and there'll be a team in the NCAA tournament. It's going to be somebody to watch.
Study that route to Nashville, Mike.
Yeah, I hope airplanes go there.
San Diego. It's going to be San Diego.
Yeah. Well, I really hope airplanes go there.
And come back.
I don't care about that part.
Just as long as you get out there.
Yeah.
Hey, Mike, thank you very much. Look forward to talking with you next Monday.
Okay.
Michael Haas. Read his stuff at thegazette.com and also on Twitter. As well at Halas. A couple things at 3:55 before we get to a break here. Number one, this has been a crazy weather day. There is a tornado warning right now for Grundy County as well as for southeastern Butler County. That goes on, I believe, till 4:15, Mark. Confirmed tornado around the Dyke and Parkersburg area. And moving to the northeast. So if you're listening to us on the app or if you're listening to us on 1600 AM up in that neck of the woods, make sure you take shelter. It's November 28th, and we've got tornado warnings going on.
I know,
if
that line of storms goes from southern Minnesota southward through Charles City, Waterloo, Tama, and down to west of Iowa City and Washington, right now the strongest part of that storm appears to be between Charles City and south of Waterloo near Tama.
So take shelter if you are in that particular area. Very strong storms, not big ones, but isolated storms that are very strong. Also, coming up, want to let you know about the Z102.9 Bridal Showcase. That'll be on Sunday, January the 8th, 2017 at the Doubletree by Hilton, Cedar Rapids Convention Complex in downtown Cedar Rapids. It is absolutely free. Doors are going to open at 1 o'clock. The always popular fashion show will start at 3:30. And for more information, go to KZIA.com. We're going to take a break, come back. We'll have the results of the Pick 6 and more after this.
Progressive presents Mind Flowness with Flo.
You are in the driver's seat, in complete control, in life and on the road. Your driving record is impeccable, and for this, you are greatly rewarded with Snapshot from Progressive. You use your savings to buy a World's Best Driver t-shirt. It runs a little small.
The more righteous you drive, the more you can save with Snapshot from Progressive. Visit progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Snapshot not available in all states or from all agents.
Hear that? That's your engine telling you something. To never settle. Because good enough has never been good enough. And your engine knows it. So give it Valvoline Full Synthetic for an unsurpassed level of protection. Listen to your engine and never settle. Choose Full Synthetic from Valvoline. 150 years under the hood. Visit AutoZone now and buy 5 quarts of Valvoline Full Synthetic and an oil filter starting at $29.99. See store for restrictions and details.
These are the engine threats that attack your engine every day. And this is Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, leaving them behind with the best total engine protection you can get. Now, earn 10 cents per gallon after every 8-gallon fill-up of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus. Who doesn't like the sound of that? Sign up for free at fuelrewards.com/ESPN. Offer ends 1-1-17. Minimum 8-gallon purchase of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline. Fuel savings limited to 20 gallons. Additional terms and conditions apply. See fuelrewards.com/ESPN for details.
Covering everything from the preps to the pros, with a little bit of old school mentality thrown in for good measure. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you, APC coming your way next, KGYM. Poll question brought to you by Emil's Hideaway is up there concerning conference championship games, Mark.
It is indeed. The question is, aside from revenue, is there really a need for conference championship games? At last look, it was unanimous. Yes.
All right. Very good. Interesting to see what the results will be on that coming up. Pick six, we have a Tyler Ryder win this week. I believe the first one. Is he the last one to get a win?
He is the last one to get a win. His first of the season, no time like the present, huh, Tyler? Ryder goes 4-2, as did Sean Krantz at 4-2. But Tyler won the tiebreaker, which was C.J. Beathard passing yards. C.J. passed for 144. Tyler guessed 116. Sean went over that number at 202. From team standpoint, the APC gouged a little bit into our lead, gained three games on us, now only 15 games back. Scott Unash 3-3 in the week. Alex 2-4, and then Todd and Mark participated.
Got participatory ribbons this week. We'll have that coming up on Thursday of this week. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to talk wrestling with KJ Pilcher of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. We'll talk high school wrestling, a little bit of college wrestling as well. APC next.
KGYM Cedar Rapids, 1600 AM, 106.3 and 107.5 FM. KCIA HD3 and 4, Cedar Rapids.